This is In the News for June 20th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today, from Reuters, U.S. steps up Afghan airstrikes. This is according to a military report. Data June 18th, that was last Sunday, the U.S. military has carried out 340 airstrikes in Afghanistan over the past 3 months, more than double the 160 conducted in Iraq, as fighting with Taliban insurgents intensifies. This is according to the Washington Post. Citing figures from the U.S. military headquarters in the Middle East, the Post said the airstrikes had increased in recent days as the military launched counteroffensives against Islamic militants in the country's south and southeast. The report quoted U.S. military officials as saying the activity was in response to increasing aggression by the Taliban, which was ousted from power by a U.S.-led coalition in 2001 following the September 11 attacks. The U.S.-led coalition has announced a major offensive against the Taliban in their southern heartland ahead of handing over the region to NATO troops to allow a reduction in U.S. forces in the country. Almost 40 foreign soldiers have been killed in combat in Afghanistan this year, nearly 30 of them Americans, in the worst upsurge of violence since 2001. Again, this is a report according to Reuters. U.S. steps up Afghan airstrikes, more airstrikes than are occurring currently in Iraq, according to this report. Next up, from St. Kitts, Greenpeace whaling protests disrupted in St. Kitts, 10 arrested. This is from Environmental News Service at ens-newswire.com. This is Frigate Bay, St. Kitts, dated June 20th. 10 Greenpeace anti-whaling activists from 7 countries were arrested by police at Frigate Bay today as they attempted to create a symbolic whale graveyard to protest Japanese whaling in the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary. The demonstration came as the International Whaling Commissioner, IWC, wound up its annual meeting in St. Kitts that has seen the Japanese-led pro-whaling group of countries nearly dominate the proceedings for the first time in 2 decades. The protest involved activists and crew from the Greenpeace ship Arctic Sunrise, which was denied entry into St. Kitts waters when it arrived last weekend before the IWC meeting began. The Greenpeacers drove inflatable boats to the beach in North Frigate Bay and were attempting to plant 863 cardboard whale tails in the sand, one to represent each whale caught by Japanese whalers in the sanctuary during the past year. The protesters were arrested by police shortly after coming ashore and now are being held at the police station in St. Kitts, main town of Basseterre, awaiting further information on charges. There's more on this at ens-newswire.com. Next up, Arctic Vault to Protect World Seed Collection. This is according to Financial Times, dated yesterday, June 19th. It's written by Fiona Harvey. Work begins on Monday in a vault in the frozen earth of an Arctic mountain off northern Norway that will safeguard a vast collection of the world's seeds. The vault will eventually hold seed samples from every known variety of food crop, ranging from common staples such as wheat and potatoes to exotic specimens whose existence is endangered in the wild. The collection will provide a seed collection of last resort should a disaster such as an asteroid strike or extreme climate change result in mass crop extinctions. Humans will be able to resurrect a species. It will focus initially on food crops, but not to the exclusion of other seeds. Nicknamed the quote-unquote Doomsday Vault, the Svalbard International Seed Vault is the creation of the Global Crop Diversity Trust, a charity set up to protect plants with the aid of the Norwegian government. Conditions in Svalbard within the Arctic Circle are considered ideal for preserving seeds, which will be kept behind blast-proof doors and watertight foil containers behind concrete walls a meter thick. Some samples held in black boxes will be released only in the event that all other sources have been destroyed or exhausted. However, Carrie Fowler, Executive Secretary of the Trust, said, quote, crop diversity is imperiled not just by a cataclysmic event such as a nuclear war, but also by natural disasters, accidents, mismanagement, and short-sighted budget cuts, end quote. Access to a diversity of plants was essential to the future of agriculture because combining the genes of one plant with another gave rise to new varieties, he said, but many plant varieties are neglected and at risk of being lost as farmers no longer grow them and the world's existing seed banks are not managed in a coordinated fashion. Mr. Carey said most seed banks were maintained by governments or research institutions that frequently reappraised budgets, putting them at risk of closure. There was insufficient international cooperation to save seeds, and many collections faced an uncertain future without Svalbard. There's more on this at commondreams.org. Again, this is by the Financial Times and written by Fiona Harvey. And finally, 3 short pieces from the new issue of High Country News at hcn.org. This is from their latest Bounce section, all written by Jody P. Peterson. Asbestos victims in Libby, Montana, can now qualify for Social Security disability benefits. In late May, the Social Security Administration, under the prodding of Senator Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana, issued a new ruling that allows victims of tremolite asbestos to receive disability benefits. More than 1,500 Libby area residents suffer from exposure to tremolite asbestos, the byproduct of the former W.R. Grace vermiculite mine. Previously, the agency had recognized only the symptoms and effects of a different form of asbestos, chrysotile, when deciding on disability claims. Also, Colorado takes a baby step towards its renewable energy goals. Portland, Oregon-based PPM Energy says it will build a 75-megawatt wind farm in southeastern Colorado near Lamar starting this fall. The state's largest utility, Xcel Energy, will buy the juice, which is enough to power about 22,500 homes. Xcel spokesman Mark Stutz says the company plans to add 775 megawatts of wind power by 2007. In 2004, Colorado voters approved a ballot initiative requiring the state's seven largest utilities to generate 10% of their electricity from wind, solar, biomass, geothermal, and some hydroelectric sources by 2015. And finally, from the latest bounce at High Country News, New Mexico's Governor Bill Richardson is doing his darndest to save his state's roadless areas. Richardson has become the first Western governor to petition the Secretary of Agriculture to protect roadless forests under the Bush administration's rewrite of the Roadless Area Conservation Rule. Richardson's petition, which cost the state $50,000 to prepare, seeks complete protection of New Mexico's 1.7 million acre roadless areas, plus the 100,000 acre Val Vidal. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Mark Ray had promised financial help to states preparing petitions, but so far only Republican-governed Colorado and Idaho have gotten federal bucks. Again, those are all from High Country News at hcn.org and all written by Jody Peterson. This has been In the News for June 20th, 2006. I'm Scott Perguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.